All right, so I'll start. Good evening. I'd like to call the March 23rd, 2021 Lower Frederick Township Board of Supervisors workshop meeting to order. Time is 7:02 p.m. Pledge of Allegiance. Can you? Right. I pledge allegiance, to the flag, of the United States of America, and to the Republic, for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible,
liberty, and justice for all.
Right. Thank you, Mark.
Give me one second here. Sorry.
So roll call, let the record reflect that all Board of Supervisor members are present at tonight's meeting, as well as staff in attendance are Mark Hudson, Township Manager, Carol Schuler, Municipal Engineer, Peter Nelson, Solicitor, and Bob Preston, Sewer Engineer. Our announcements are standard announcements, which I'll read now. Township meetings are recorded for the purpose of preparing the minutes, and the recording is destroyed 6 months after the minutes are approved. This meeting will also be recorded by the teleconference provider, which is Zoom in our case. It's requested that all persons speaking before the board shall state their name, address, and the subject matter upon which they wish to speak for the record. In the interest of facilitating the business of the board, all persons addressing the board shall be limited to 2 minutes. Unless such time is extended by the chair for good cause. The Board of Supervisors will provide a reasonable opportunity for citizens to comment on any non-agenda items after all agenda items have been addressed, but prior to the adjournment of the public meeting. Meeting attendees will be able to ask questions at specific times during the meeting through chat or Zoom chat, audio by having us unmute you, or you can email Mark Hudson, our township manager. His email address is manager@lowerfrederick.org. Lower Frederick is all one word. And you can also call our township office number, and that number will also ring through to our manager, Mark Hudson. Mark, I guess our first agenda item, if you're ready.
Executive sessions?
Yes, please.
All right, so we had executive sessions on March 4th and March 8th for personnel, and then we had executive sessions on March 16th and March 19th to discuss legal issues.
Great, thank you. So our first agenda item tonight is our update for the Zieglerville Road home heating oil release.
So we did receive an email from DEP that the preliminary testing results showed traces of petroleum-related compounds, but they were all well below statewide health standards. A formal report will be forthcoming that includes data and interpretations. Once they receive the final report, within hopefully a couple of weeks, they will send it to us and let us know of any next steps that DEP will be taking.
Okay. Well, that's good news that the levels are low.
Yes. Yeah.
Are there any questions for our manager, Mark Hudson, either from the board or from our audience? Great. So once the report is received, we'll obviously go over it in a meeting, and you'll provide that to the neighbors, or they'll get it directly, I guess. Is that right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Brings us to our next agenda item, which is public comment on agenda items. Do we have any public comment on tonight's agenda items? Nothing.
not seeing anything, Jim.
Okay. We'll continue on to our first agenda item, which is the Prestige conditional use hearing decision and order. At this point, I'll turn the meeting over to our solicitor, Peter Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. After discussions regarding this particular application and discussions over the written decision, I would like to propose an order that I will read to you today, tonight, as well as all of the conditions that are applicable under this order. I am not going to read through the entire decision since it's close to 30 pages single-spaced. At the once I've done reading this order, so long as the board is fine with it, I will be looking for a motion to approve this adjudication and order, and you know, for the board to approve it at this meeting so that we can get it mailed out tomorrow. The order reads as follows. And now this 23rd date of March 2021, upon consideration of foregoing findings of fact, discussion, and conclusions of law, and at a publicly advertised meeting, the Board of Supervisors of Lower Frederick Township hereby conditionally grants Prestige Property Partners, Inc., the conditional use requested in the application to establish a neighborhooding lotting development upon the property located at 121 Big Road and 26 Little Road in the township, otherwise respectfully referred to as tax map parcel numbers 38-00-02035-00-6 and 38-00-01177-00-9. Such grant being conditioned upon and in compliance with the findings of fact, discussion, and conclusions of law set forth in the attached adjudication. So with this approval, the board attached, 25 separate conditions. I am not going to read them completely, but I will summarize each of them. Condition number one is the applicant needs to show that they have been empowered by the current owners of the property to file this application. Condition number two is for the applicant to undertake and finalize the purchase of the two properties. Condition number three is a requirement that the applicant construct a project in substantial compliance with the testimony and evidence presented at the hearing, as well as in compliance with these conditions. Condition number four requires a Prestige to file for land development and go through that process. Condition number five directs Prestige to redesign the project so that the separation between the two halves of the neighborhood, the 25 houses on one side and the 17 houses on the other, is actually lessened so that it is approximately 40 feet apart. How this is done, it will be worked out during the land development process. Condition number six is directing Prestige to use the 60 feet that they've gained by closing the gap between the two neighborhoods to provide 30 feet of additional buffer on either side of the development, i.e. next to the Byram property and next to the Bird property. Condition number seven states that in redesigning the project to shorten the narrow the distance between the neighborhoods and granting larger buffer yards, that the lot configuration stays essentially the same, and that they don't use the area gained by squeezing the neighborhoods together to enlarge the lots. Condition number eight directs Prestige that in relocating the neighborhood as part of this process of squeezing or putting together closer together the two halves of the neighborhood, that Road A is located in such a fashion to minimize it or eliminate, if possible, the shining of headlights of cars exiting this proposed development. Condition number nine is directing Prestige to construct a berm and landscaping up against the bird tract and to expand it with the increased size of the buffer, and to undertake this this work at the commencement of the project. Condition number 10 is to install the buffering and landscaping next to the biome track to expand it to and make it increase it with the expansion of the buffer, and to undertake this work at the commencement of the project. Condition number 11 is to install the landscaping and buffering along the little road frontage and to undertake earthwork to perhaps increase the height of that land to help additionally buffer it. And once again, also to undertake this work at the commencement of the project. Condition 12 is directing Prestige to install a walking trail through the Village Green and the central open space, basically between the two halves of the neighborhood, out to from Road A, the traffic circle on Road A, out to Little Road, and to demarcate this area of trees, and to place signs in this location of the trail to make it clear that homeowners or prospective homeowners understand that a trail will be installed there, and to once again install this trail as soon as possible as construction commences. 13 is to install a trail or sidewalk along the frontage of Little Road from basically the biome track property line all the way up to the northwestern portion of Road A where it intersects Little Road. 14 directs Prestige to remove a note from their plans saying that the township is going to acquire right away from the Byrams, and directing the Prestige to approach the Byrams during the land development process and make a fair market value offer to purchase an easement over the Byrams' frontage to hopefully enable the extension of the trail or sidewalk through the Byram frontage and then eventually connect to the trail from Melbourne Hills and then go to Coble Park. 15 is directing how the trails and sidewalks are going to be constructed. All the trails must be paved. All the sidewalks must be made of contract. It also provides a specific specification for the paving. 16 directs Prestige to extend their trail system in the open space to down to Scioto Creek and to connect this trail with a possible trail being that is built in conjunction with the development of the Rose Tract. It also directs the developer that they are responsible for crossing the creek and covering that design and cost of that crossing. 17 states that all trails and sidewalks installed shall be open for use by the general public. 18 grants Prestige relief from installing the required recreation area and associated playing field in exchange for a reasonable fee in lieu of. 19 states that the open space that is being created as part of this project shall either be authored for dedication to the township, or if the township does not wish any or all of that dedication, that it shall be owned by the homeowners association with a conservation easement held by a third party to protect it. 20 requires Prestige to provide a capital contribution to the township for the future maintenance, repair, restoration, upgrade, and replacement of the Delphi pump station. 21 requires Prestige to extend the public water and sewer lines along the right-of-way to Little Road to the northwesternmost intersection of Road A with Little Road. 22 requires Prestige to provide with the township with a recorded document, either showing the AT&T easement on the property being extinguished or being moved. This must be done prior to final land development approval. 23 states that the Board of Supervisors will have final say over the name of Road A. 24 allows Prestige, if it so desires, to eliminate the sidewalk on the inner side of the loop of Road A, since we're directing them to put a path through the center of the neighborhood. And 25 states that Prestige must engineer and construct a project so that no stormwater flows from any stormwater maintenance facilities constructed as part of the project onto either the Bird or Byram properties. So those are the 25 conditions of this approval. Are there any questions from the board? Seeing none, Mr. Chairman, as I said before, I'm only looking for a motion from the board to approve the adjudication as prepared by me and as summarized at this meeting.
Can I get a motion from a board member to approve the adjudication in order as written by our solicitor, or and also just summarized by our solicitor, Peter Nelson?
This is Dan Orff. I so move.
Dan Orff makes the motion. Do we have a second?
I will second.
Marla Hexter. Supervisor Hexter, a second. So at this point, will any discussion either from the board, or we'll also entertain discussion questions from the public at this point?
Chuck, I just want to mention that Terry Bird will be abstaining from the vote due to his not participating as a board member in the conditional use hearing.
Thank you.
I just want to thank Peter for this marathon effort. It was
a lot thank of work. Thank you
very much. Yeah, thank you.
Much appreciated.
Yeah. Mark, do we have any questions from?
I see one hand.
Oh, there we go.
From Paula.
Hi there. I might have missed this, but is there any ordinance about the lighting in these developments? In terms of street lighting or sidewalk lighting or individual housing lighting?
I don't know specifics, Paula, and maybe Carol Schuller could address that. But generally, that sort of item is dealt with during the land development process. And so it will be, this is just step one. The land development process is a very long and torturous process for the developer, and those sorts of things will be addressed at that point in time.
Carol, would you like to add to what Peter said?
I would like to second exactly what Peter said. We would look at the lighting during the subdivision and land development process.
And Paula, can you just identify your address, please, for the record?
She's muted.
You have to ask to unmute. Go ahead, Paula.
Okay, this is 12 Riverside Avenue, and thank you for answering my question.
You're welcome.
Do we have any other questions, Mark?
I am not seeing anything, Chuck.
Wonderful. Okay, so we have a motion and a second to approve the adjudication in order written by our solicitor. All in favor of approving the adjudication in order, say aye.
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 Any against? Motion carries unanimously 4-0.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. This adjudication will be emailed and mailed out regular mail to the developer tomorrow.
Wonderful. Thank you, Peter. As Marla said, you did a wonderful job.
All right. Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Brings us to our next agenda item tonight, which is the escrow release for B Team. Is that Carol or Mark?
No, that's me. As we have done in the past several times, the way the B Team project was set up, they escrowed the monies for inspections from the engineer during the project, and if there's any work done by the solicitor. So we have to release money from the escrow to pay the bills that were run up by a B team. So we're looking to release $2,457.75 from the B team escrow to pay the bills for engineering and legal. And we will vote at that at the next meeting.
Is there any question? Do we have any questions for Mark on this agenda item? Hearing none, we will move on to the line painting quotes for 2021.
Okay, so we're right back where we were in 2020 when everything went crazy and we were getting the line painting bids ready, and then we tabled that for the time being. So the roads have not been painted in Lower Frederick since 2018, so we need to get the lines painted. This is the white edge lines and the double yellow center lines where we have them. So we went out. We have three quotes. Luckily, the amount of money that will be spent came in under the bid limit. So we have a quote. From GuideMark for $21,801. We have a quote from Traffic Safety Signs for $19,826. And we have a quote that I will recommend next week to take from A1 Traffic Control Products for $14,715.68. So again, this will be line painting on all the white edge lines and the double yellow lines where we have those. And we have not done this since 2018, so it will be good to get the lines refreshed out in the town.
Mark, I have a question. I took a look at those bids. This is Noelle.
Uh-huh.
Only one of them delineated line item on each street that will receive, you know, either a double line or a single white line.
Yep.
Is they it safe all... to beg your pardon?
Go ahead.
Is it safe to assume that all three of these bids encompass that same criteria?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
We gave them the same layout. They just gave it to us differently.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
So it's all apples and apples.
Yep.
Yep.
Are there any other questions for Mark at this point before we move on? Hearing none, we're going to move on to a presentation for the board, as well as most importantly for the community, for the Fulmer Road Riverside Sewer Extension Project. It'll be presented by our sewer engineer, Bob Preston, as well as our township engineer, Carol Schuler. So I guess I'll turn it over to Bob and Carol.
All right. Can everybody see a screen that with the project title?
Yes.
Yes.
Super. Thank you. Well, I'm going to let Mark start with the introduction, if you would be so kind, Mark.
Yeah, you want to. So this presentation is put together from HydroTerra and Value Engineering. So we'll have Bob and Carol will be giving you most of the presentation. We're going to ask that we please allow the engineers to get through the presentation. So hold your questions until the end, and your question may appear on a later slide. Questions will be accepted and addressed at the end of the presentation. And this is a public meeting. All questions and comments are welcome. However, township officials want to prioritize the questions from impacted homeowners in the area.
Thank you, Mark.
Yep.
So there's a good bit of history to this project. I'm going back to the Act 537 plan of 2002, which noted this area as potential future sewer service area. And we go forward to 2009, when the township initiated planning for replacement of the aging sewer treatment plant and included this sewer extension in that planning. So that was Act 537 planning, which was finalized and approved by DEP in 2014. In spring of 2015, survey was performed on Fulmer, Riverside, and Bavington. The The Board of Supervisors directed the township manager shortly thereafter to send letters to residents along Fulmer and Bavington Roads to assess needs and evaluate the project extent. Engineering design was underway in 2016. In February of 2017, Lower Frederick Township applied for grant funding for the pump station, but was not successful. The water quality management permit for the sewer extension and pump station was received from DEP in April of 2017. The NPDES construction permit for this project was received from DEP in August of 2017. And the new treatment plant construction was underway in 2017. That plant became operational in 2018. Many of you may recall in December of 2018, there was a presentation to the public on this sewer extension. In April of 2019, there was another presentation to the public on sewer extension and financing. And then in December of 2019, the township applied for an H2O grant for this project. Unfortunately, again, we were not successful in securing that funding. And that moves us right on to March of 2021. Which is tonight's meeting to again review the sewer extension with the impacted residents. And from here, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Preston.
Thank you, Carol. Right now, we're just going to have a very brief outline of what I'm going to be talking about today. We're going to start and compare and contrast the gravity versus low pressure, go over a little bit of the scope, the roads that are affected, construction costs, the estimated timeline, and the property owner's responsibilities. To begin here, we're looking at the sanitary collection system on Fulmer and Riverside Road, both gravity and low pressure. When we sit here and we start to compare these, the permits have already been obtained and designed, and the project designed and can be bid and installed as it currently stands. And that's for the gravity system that we've been discussing over the years. From there, this construction will be approximately 9 months. The gravity sewer in the roads are estimated plus or minus 3 months, with the actual pump station taking plus or minus 6 months. From there, we looked at changing the whole system over to a low pressure. This would require a full redesign and re-permit through PADEP, MCCD, and this would also significantly extend the timelines. Moving further along with the low pressure, we have the homeowner's responsibilities for this type of system. The homeowner would be responsible for the electricity to run the pumps, would be responsible for scheduled maintenance and replacement costs of the pump stations, which are located adjacent to their individual houses, and the infrastructure that they are required to put in from the house to the right-of-way line. The, what we call the curb stop, is where our construction will cease. We will work, or we would work with the homeowner to see the best location. However, they're responsible to the right-of-way line. The collection system, if we go with the gravity, has no power requirements. The power would be in a municipal pump station, which would be owned and operated by the township. This station would include backup generating power, which will allow for no interruption. Now, with power, as a homeowner, when you lose power, you lose the ability to pump your sewer to the system. I just want to make that point. a low pressure system, the life cycle, operating, maintaining the equipment required for a low pressure system, starts to gain in price and doesn't last as long as a gravity system. Also, with a low pressure system this large, you know, there may be an odor problem that we have to be aware of. In addition, we'll add about $10,000 to a individual's cost to connect because they're responsible to purchase the grinder pump. In contrast, the gravity system, the sewers are deeper. This will allow future conflicts not to happen because we'll be below most normal digging. And most importantly, the construction can start likely early 2022 and hope to start connecting to this system by the fall of 2022. All right. That just briefly summarizes what we went through. And I would like to mention that the gravity collection is recommended to the Board of Supervisors as the method they should choose or would likely choose. The scope of the project, simply there'll be about 6,200 linear feet of 8-inch gravity PVC sewer. This would drain to a new municipal pump station, which then in turn, by force main, will convey the wastewater generated to a terminal manhole in Boulder Lane. This slide here shows in the lower right corner where we propose to put a municipal pump station. Also shows the potential connection point in Boulder Avenue and the force main, as well as moving upward on the slide, you have the gravity sanitary sewer, which begins almost all the way out Fulmer and runs down to the municipal pump station. Along this route, there's approximately 51 homes within 150 linear feet that will be required to connect. There are some rental units along the stretch that have more than one EDU per building. 15 homes can connect, but they may be further away from the main, so they wouldn't be required to connect. 7 properties with existing force main connections would be reconnected. There are 14 vacant lots along the proposed route that will have the potential to connect in the future. There are 2 houses on Bavington that have requested connection by grinder pump. So the scope of the project is roughly 82 sanitary sewer lateral stubs. We will provide from the gravity 82 stubs to connect to the existing sewer route. Our lateral stubs will be terminated at the right-of-way line or close to the right-of-way line for the homeowners to be able to access. It'll be brought to the surface with a clean out. You can see a detail that's placed in the lower part of the slide of what would be required to protect the top so they don't end up being broken off. As you see the slide to the left of it, they tend to get hit by lawnmowers and have problems. So we want to protect it. When we go through here, we will work with the homeowner to find the best possible location to set this lateral. So if your sewer comes out your right side of your house, we will try to put the lateral stub right in front of the right side of your house, minimizing the amount of trenching that the homeowner will have to do. The municipal pump station is proposed to be constructed at the low point. This is near Riverside Avenue. It'll take about 500 linear feet of force main to carry the pump wastewater to existing manhole in Boulder cul-de-sac, Boulder Lane cul-de-sac. An example of the site plan that we're proposing here in about the middle of the slide on the left would be a small control building, the square, correct? This will contain a generator as well as the controls. The wet well and valve vault are right there where you see the arrow moving. That will then pump through a force main up to Boulder Lane. As I had mentioned before, the generator is enclosed in the building. The probable construction cost is estimated at $2.75 million. This project will be publicly bid and awarded to lowest responsible bidder. Now this slide, I'm going to explain a little bit of how we went about here. The total estimated project came in at roughly $2.5 million. There's a contingency built in there of roughly $250,000. So the total probable cost to the construction is $2.751 million. With an engineering and inspection during construction, this gives you a probable total cost of $3,027,178. Now, mind you, these are budgetary numbers and they are estimates. So with this, we looked at possible ways to reduce the cost. The first way we looked at was to remove the wearing course of paving. This is the actual course that you drive on. So that saved us some money, you know, taking the total probable cost to 2.6 million, again, with the 10% engineering and inspection, 2.906 and change. The next area that we thought we would be able to remove to help these numbers is Avenue B. So we looked at the cost of Avenue B, we deducted it, ran the probable cost, and it comes out to roughly $2.862 million. Okay. Now, finally, if we remove both Avenue B and the wearing course and it continues, and we put in the contingencies and the engineering and inspection, we end up at $2.741 million and change. Now, just because we said we were removing them doesn't mean they actually will happen that way. As I said, these are budgetary numbers and they're construction cost estimates. The actual bids may come in higher or lower depending on material cost, wage rates, fuel prices, how eager a contractor is to get work. So with that being said, without Avenue A and the wearing, we're at approximately $2,741,618. However, the portions alternate A and the wearing course will be bid as add alternate. So depending on how the bids come in, the township can award these alternate items and we can actually end up possibly doing them, but it all depends on the way the bids come in. So ultimately, after we bid this, we get our prices back. It is within the township's rights after reviewing the bids to decide the bids are too high, they exceed the resources of the township, and we can choose, the township can choose to reevaluate and reject all bids. Now that the money is out, we'll talk down in Riverside Avenue improvements. This is the area just ahead of the municipal pump station. We're looking at the corner between Riverside and Bavington. You see a shaded area, it's in blue. This will have to be widened. And this widening will help access of the larger trucks and equipment that is needed to construct the municipal pump station. Widening Riverside Avenue down further to roughly 18 feet. You see the blue shaded area as well. We'll have to remove some of the gabions. This will straighten the road out to allow better access for the construction vehicles. The bid process. Competitive bids will be obtained through the PennBid procurement system. And a big question is always rock. Previously, test borings were performed at each proposed manhole location to identify the depth of the result or depth of the rock. The results were placed on the plans. However, when we bid the project, all excavations will be bid as unclassified. This basically means the bidder will assume the risk. The impacted roads. Access to all properties will be maintained, but the through traffic will be restricted. All the impacted roads will receive a pavement overlay at the conclusion of the project. The potential construction timeline. The estimated timeline after the award of contract is approximately 9 months. 5 months for the bidding. Prior to that is 5 months for the bidding and contract award process. 5 to 7 months, the contractor lead time to obtain equipment, submittals, utility coordination, etc. Actual construction will happen roughly the 8th month through 13th month. And you see the bar graph on the bottom, with the final pavement to happen in the 12th to 13th month. And again, this is all construction, weather reliant. Okay, what does a property owner need? What are his responsibilities? Homes within 150 feet of the proposed sewer extension must be connected to the sewer. The connection is to be by a licensed plumber, and it must install the lateral from the house to the lateral stub near the road. As we discussed earlier, the stub will be visible from the surface. Big question is, how much time do we have? The connections will be completed within 60 days from a written notice from the township. These notices will be issued by the township upon extension installation. So that would be likely late 2022. You're probably familiar with the new sewer connection, or what we call the tapping fee for each dwelling unit is $7,405. You'll be required to get a permit to connect, which is $325. the cost of the plumber to connect your home to the new system tank, to the new system and septic tank cistern decommissioning is variable. We don't know. It depends on what your connections look like, what your negotiation skills are with the plumber. Each property is unique. We can't give you an exact price because of that. You will negotiate the cost with your own plumber. Local plumbers should advise us that it's approximately $7,000 plus or minus for a connection. If these connections were low pressure, you would add about $10,000 more, totaling about $17,000. In prior presentations, a resident asked about benefit analysis. I apologize for that. The benefit assessment is a cost assessed to each benefiting property owner for the new sewer line. It is addressed in section 2507 of the second class township code. Right, I'm just going to read this. When a sanitary sewer system is constructed by a township for the benefit only of a certain portion of the township, and the cost of the main sanitary sewers, pump stations, pressure lines, etc., is charged against the sanitary sewer district or sanitary sewer districts, all or part of the amount charged to each district may be assessed to the district by an assessment upon each lot or piece of land in the district. At this time, the township does not anticipate or plan to charge a benefit assessment on top of the tapping fee. Project funding was attained as part of the loan established for both this project and replacement of the sanitary sewer plant. What is a grinder pump? A grinder pump is for properties where the sewer piping extending to the building is lower than the new sanitary sewer main. The pump, if you look to the left of the slide, you see the grinder pump unit. You will have a pump where you'll flow out of your house by gravity to the low end of this grinder unit, and then it'll have to be pumped up to the sanitary sewer that we put in the road. Right? The grinder pumps must be installed by a licensed plumber and under a connection permit obtained through the township. Individual property owners will be responsible for the operation, the maintenance, and repair of these grinder pump systems and will be required to enter into a grinder pump agreement with the township. As this implied, these are your grinder pumps. Some houses may require pumps to make a new connection to the collecting sewer system. Grinder pump installation is not part of the township's work. Homeowners must install these as part of their lateral connection work. Looking through and looking at the plans and the grades, it appears that 207, 209, and 17 Fulmer Road will need a grinder pump to service their first floor. 2013 Fulmer, 50, 52, 56 Riverside will require one to service their basement. 42, 46, and 54 Riverside will continue to use a grinder pump. And the two properties on Babington Road will be required to connect by a grinder pump. Your existing sanitary sewer systems, your septic tanks and cesspools are required to be properly abandoned. Very simply, the abandonment process is, number one, you need to empty and clean the inside. They provide a honey dipper to wash it out and remove all the material. The concrete structure has to be penetrated through the bottom, allowing water to seep through. The void has to be filled with granular material. Then approximately, and it's not on this slide, you need about a foot of soil on top so nothing is exposed. How are we going to all do this? PennVest. Currently, there's up to $25,000 of financial assistance available for homeowners to help pay for the connection to the public sewer. Generally, loan terms are what we've talked about so far is fixed interest rate for the life of loan, as low as 1.75, up to 20 years. To repay the loan balance. The loan must include construction costs and can also include tapping fee. The property must be owner occupied. So in order to qualify for this loan, you have to live at the property. The township will request PennVest representative be available to meet with the residents. And interest rate, this is all be negotiated between PennVest and you, or you, the person applying for it. So hopefully I didn't bore you too much. Questions?
So at this point, we would like to entertain questions from we'll give priority to impacted residents, people who live on Riverside, Fulmer, and maybe one or I think there are a couple homes on Babington. We ask before speaking that we'll unmute you, or if you contact our manager, he'll communicate with you over the phone. But we do ask you to, you know, to state your name and your address, and that way we can have your comments and questions accurately reflected in our record of tonight's meeting. So we have a question from somebody who's citizen.
Yep, I will get to them in 1 second. Our first question came in from Susan at 52, 54, and 46 Riverside. My properties have grinder pumps. Does that mean I won't get a stub, a lateral stub?
They will be provided a stub to connect a new place to connect the grinder pump. So today, those grinder pumps go all the way up to Boulder Lane at the conclusion of this project, and we'll have to coordinate with them during this project. Those grinder pumps will be connected to the new gravity main instead.
Robert, you can unmute.
My question is it required for the hookup if you're more than 150 foot from the roadway?
So the Robert, you were at 251 Fulmer Road, is that correct?
Yes, I'm about 550 foot from the road.
Thank you.
Right.
Robert Perkins.
So it would not be required for you to connect if you're more than 150 feet from the new sewer main. That's correct.
You can choose.
What's the possibility of you changing those requirements?
That's actually state law. That's actually written in the Pennsylvania code, that 150 feet. So that's where that number comes from. If you are more than 150 feet, then it is your option whether or not to connect.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Sure thing.
All right, we have Brian Rice. Go ahead, Brian, you can unmute. There you go, you're good.
Mr. Preston, you were talking about a low pressure system versus gravity, and I don't know if the first question addressed any of that or not. I missed that. But When you say a low pressure system, you're talking through the whole sewer system, or are you just talking from the person's house to the line?
Well, when we're talking the low pressure system, we were talking all the homes, the Fulmer Road, the extension, that would be all low pressure. It wouldn't be a gravity sewer main at all. It would be low pressure into the existing. So each individual home along that would have a grinder pump.
Okay, that's for ones that are below grade or below.
No, that would be for the entire system.
Oh.
Everybody along Fulmer and Riverside would be required to connect with a low pressure grinder pump system.
Okay.
That's not what's being recommended.
That's fine, Carol. Just go there for now.
Mr. Rice, could you please give your address?
250 Fulmer Road.
Thank you.
I was going to announce that because I have people's addresses.
Okay. Mr. Rice, what Chuck was saying was Mr. Preston is recommending to go with the gravity system. He just was letting everyone know that he reviewed both options before he came up with his choice to go with the gravity system.
And what's the likelihood of flipping on that and saying, or somebody somewhere saying, you have to have a low gravity system, or I mean a low pressure system based on who knows what, but somebody else's observation of the project? Or is the gravity going to be what's going to be most likely happening?
At this time, Mr. Preston is recommending to the board that they move forward with the gravity option for the project.
All right.
Mark, I saw Warren Jacobs.
Yeah, he went down. I have a JR, the slideshow is not listing the address 44 Riverside. Can you confirm if any changes would be needed with this existing grinder pump?
I don't know how to interpret that question.
I think Carol's looking to see if, I guess my interpretation is they're currently on a grinder pump, and would they need to maintain the grinder pump, or would they have the option of going with gravity?
It depends on their elevation relative to the gravity line. So if their house is about the same level as the street, there's a good chance that they could not need a grinder pump at the end of this project. If their house is below the level of the street, it's more likely they'll need a grinder pump. So obviously it would be on a case-by-case basis, but that's a good guideline to judge whether you would need to continue with a grinder pump or might be able to now connect by gravity. Is that helpful?
I think so.
Okay.
Mark, for the record, what was the address again of that last question?
44 Riverside.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, I have Donna from 204 Fulmer Road. Is this really going to happen, or is this just wishful thinking? We've been waiting for years.
Not wishful thinking, Donna.
Just quickly while we're doing things here, did you have Brian Rice's address, Chuck?
Yeah, I think it was 250.
Thank you. That was for our minute taker. Yeah,
that it was 250.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Fulmer. Yeah.
Paula, I will be right with you. I have Lisa Toback from 229 Fulmer Road. Can you share the monthly cost of the sanitary sewer? Currently, it is a quarterly cost for the sanitary sewer, and it's $175 a quarter. Let me go to Paula here.
Hi, Paula. Paula Rekia, 12 Riverside Avenue. So our house is not listed as needing a grinder pump. And what I guess my main question is, we don't currently have a bathroom in the basement. If we decided in the future to install one, would we need a grinder pump?
I think it's a case by case basis. We would need to look at your individual property and elevations relative to the gravity line. But if you weren't listed as needing a grinder pump, then our initial evaluation was that the sewer was low compared to your house elevation. So a grinder pump would not likely be required.
There is also options, and some people have it, where there's just a small grinder pump in a toilet that you put in the basement, and it pushes it up just into your gravity line, all with inside your house. All right. All right, Patricia Posey at 255 Fulmer. You listed the homes which will need a grinder pump. Do you have a list, or do you know which homes are further than 150 feet from the road?
I don't have a specific list at this point. I have a map, and we could look at it at individual properties and get back to people based on our mapping at this time.
Patricia, if you want to give me a call tomorrow or send me an email, I can come out to your house and we can take a look at that for you.
Yeah, just to follow up, Patricia and I spoke, and it obviously needs to be refined, but it appeared as though she might be outside, but you obviously will be the decider in terms of how that measurement is made and the accuracy.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Carol, but I believe it's the front of the house is 150 feet from the main.
So Patricia, yes. You can reach out to me, then we'll take a look at that for you. Donna, again, from 204 Fulmer Road. Is another grant denial going to postpone this again? We are not currently looking for another grant at this time. We're trying to move forward with the situation that was presented. JR, sorry, I got to go back up and find the addresses.
JR, I think you said earlier was 44.
44. He said fantastic. Thank you. Donna, again, from 204 Fulmer, is very happy right now. Lisa said thank you. Susan. All right, so she is from the 52 Riverside. I have two other questions about the difficulty I had with the excavation getting down the hill through the rock. Is Carol suggesting another excavation down the hill will be necessary, or will we be tying in? Also, 52 already has a grinder pump. It's suggested I already need one.
So if 52 has a grinder pump today, the goal would be to connect that line in up near the street right of way. So obviously, it's a case-by-case basis, and your plumber would make the end call that everything is in good condition. But if it's in good condition, our expectation was that your existing grinder pump line would instead be terminated in a connection to the new gravity line. So no, not going back through the rock down the hill again.
At a clean-out that we would put in.
Correct.
That is all I have at the moment.
Great.
Did you get Warren back, or did we lose him for good?
I asked Warren to unmute. He didn't, and I can do it again. I did see his hand. Warren, did you have a question? Oh, all right.
No, I just wanted to clarify, because it seemed like that Mr. Preston didn't understand Brian's question, and it got straightened out.
Okay. Thank you.
Warren, Could you please just give your name and address, please, for the record?
252 Fulmer Road.
All right. You had to think about that.
Yeah, I did. Well, all these numbers are flying past my head.
Like your phone number. Can't remember. Yeah. All right. I have Tim Jagger from 18 Fulmer Road. Would it be possible to attempt to contract a plumber for doing the hookups to possibly save homeowners money instead of having multiple plumbers bringing equipment in? Have one so their equipment is there and can just move down the street.
That's a great idea. If property owners would get together on hiring a plumber, that would be in your best interest. If the township does it, it gets complicated with prevailing wages and other controls. I'll let Peter or Bob jump in if they have any other comments, but I would strongly recommend that property owners work together towards hiring a plumber. That would absolutely be in your best interest.
I've had projects where they've worked on their own individual plumber and they've done multiple sites, as well as when we got on site, they talked directly to independently to our contractor who already had all the equipment there. But that's has nothing to do with the township. That's up to the homeowners to get together and talk to whoever they can get to do it.
Sounds like a Facebook group or something.
Yes, but the more, if a contractor can have his equipment there and do 5 or 6 or 10, he definitely shares. He reduces. There's one mobilization. It's for their best interest to get together and discuss it.
Could we possibly, as a township, at least maintain a list since we'll know who's doing what based on permits pulled, so that other homeowners could call in and ask or provide that to some way? Not that we're advocating one plumber over another, but.
I think that's a legal question.
Oh, it's getting a little lonely. Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
Chuck, you know, that's certainly fine, but the township cannot be like recommending plumbers. That would be, not appropriate. You know, you could say who, you know, what plumbers have pulled permits, but I wouldn't go anything beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, we maintain a list of, you know, septic haulers. Not that we advocate who to go to.
Correct. We can have a list of who comes in, but the best way, the way Bob was kind of stating it, was to get together ahead of time so that they can come and quote 5 people or 10 people at one time. Donna,
Here's my other suggestion then.
Donna from 204 said she would work on setting something up to get the residents together. Go ahead, Chuck.
My other suggestion is that this will be happening in 2022. We'll be out of COVID. I think it would be a nice gesture if the township could make the meeting room available if people want to have a meeting with contractors. You know, and maybe that way that would help that situation out.
Yes, we will also plan on having a meeting for affected residents with PennVest, like Bob said. All right, so I have JR again at 44 Riverside. Any idea of what the cost would be for connecting to the gravity line, terminating an existing grinder pump and connecting to the gravity line? So,
You're talking about dismantling an existing low pressure system and coming in via gravity?
Yes.
That would be the cost of the plumber to replumb it. So roughly $7,000 is what we've got. But again, it's on a case by case because we don't know what the plumbing is in your particular location.
And that would probably be a little less because they wouldn't have to decommission the a septic tank or anything.
Correct. They'd just be pulling out the existing pump station.
Okay. Brian Rice, again, Can we give them a list of residents? We can kind of give you the general area of who's going to be affected. I can do that. And if someone contacts me, I can kind of give you the upper end and the lower end of the streets and the numbers of who we expect.
Excuse me, Mark. When we go out to bid and this hits PennBid, a lot of the local contractors peruse PennBid. And when they see the extent of the plans, they might be soliciting their own work. So the time that we go out to bid is also a good time for the residents to look for plumbers.
Any more comments, Mark?
At this time, I do not have anything else at the moment.
You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think
Hold on. Sorry, I got two just popped up. Also had a question about the location of the pump station. This is bordering on or on wetlands. Has any environmental impact study been done in terms of minimizing the impact to wildlife?
Mark, who is that question coming from?
That's from Sue. Susan N. Who was 52 Riverside.
Thank you.
Yep.
There was a wetland evaluation performed by a soil scientist to make sure that we did work around and avoid any wetland issues. There was a Pindy search. And it's been so long, I've got to go back through my records, but that's a Pennsylvania National Diversity Index. And I know we looked at that and I have to go back and find the results. It's just been 5 years now. I apologize. It's been a couple of years.
In addition, the pump station is above floodplain, 100-year floodplain.
Okay, Paula, there she is.
Couple of quick questions. 12 Riverside Avenue. One is actually about Fulmer Road. I'm just wondering if the construction would impact any of the vernal pools, given that it will probably be taking place in springtime. There are wetland areas that are temporary wetland areas along Fulmer Road that currently have, you know, like wood frogs and spring peepers. They're not protected animals, but they are wetland dwellers. They're amphibians. And I was just wondering about that, or if the construction is going to pretty much be down the road and not impacting the sides at all, because the one I'm thinking of is right up against the road. That's one question. The other one, I know I'm beating a dead horse with this, but I still just can't comprehend needing to widen this road to the extent that we're saying, because all kinds of trucks service and access this road on a regular basis. And, you know, from garbage trucks to oil trucks, nobody has issues. And, you know, you can say the road is currently 14 feet across and you're just widening it by 4. But in fact, you know, when things creep in as they do, I think it's realistically probably closer to 12 feet right now. So adding another 6 and chopping a significant amount of trees down to do so is really going to change the appearance as well as the ability to limit speed. Right now we have Amazon trucks that go 35, 45 miles an hour down this road. My husband might want to follow up with another question, but I'll let you answer those two first. Thank you.
Well, I'll take the wetlands and Bob, then I'll let you take the road and big trucks. Would that work?
Is that a plan?
Super. So the sewer main itself is generally in the cartway of Fulmer Road. It's generally in the road cartway, except for that Avenue B shoot off that we've talked about. So there are lateral stubs that will be put in, do go off to the edge of the road. There would be some flexibility in terms of where those lateral stubs land relative to the property frontage. So if there's a wet spot, you know, working with each property owner, the location for that lateral stub or that clean out could be moved up and down along the property frontage to avoid some of those problem areas and avoid some of those impacts. Bob, I'm going to let you take the question on roads.
Riverside Road widening. Down there, as you said, it is extremely narrow. The widening seems more substantial than it's actually really going to be. The trucks that are going to have to get down there are larger than the trash trucks. The pump station alone will probably be coming on a tractor trailer. So we have to be cognizant of that size vehicle that is going down there. They have to be able to maneuver in and maneuver out. As we have reduced the widening that was originally proposed. So, you know, we've kept everything as narrow as we possibly can. As far as delivery trucks going 45 down the back road, I can't even drive my truck 45 down there, but I do understand, and I've seen how I have no control of what they're going to do. Was that the total question, or you need more explanation on something?
No, I think, you know, I think that answers my question. Does it need to stay that wide after this project? On both ends, at the center point, close to those gabion baskets, and also up at the Bavington Riverside, does it need to be so wide permanently?
Well, do you want to jump in on that one, Carol? I believe, as far as financially, it's going to be more expensive to take it and put it back, take it out and bring it back in, and that would be a reason not to do it. You see anything else, Carol?
I think that's something that could be evaluated at the end of the project, but you're right, it would be an additional expense to then try to change something back. We could talk about some additional plantings perhaps to help buffer or soften the impact. That would, I think, be a nice solution.
Also, what about like a speed hump that would have to be talked about when we put the final wiring on? Would that be traffic calming? That might be.
I think as we get towards the end of the project, we can look at it with the board and have them, you know, take a look and see what we can do. We did have agreement from Susan again with Paula. This is a real concern. People are flying down Riverside, and many of the residents on Riverside, as we know, when they step out of their house, they're practically stepping onto the roadway.
Mark, what's the address for Susan?
She's at the 52 Riverside.
Great. Thank you.
I just wanted to jump in on the speeding issue. We can also engage our police force on that issue before, during, and after the project to see if they have any ideas.
Yes. This is Supervisor Orff. I did want to jump in and say that we did discuss the possible replanting of some bushes and trees in that one particular corner area, the turn. That was discussed because we know we're taking a plant or two out there. So that's something that is definitely has been thought about, and I'll leave it at that. So.
Yeah, this is Chuck Geiser. I just also wanted to add that our professionals did offer, and we took them up on actually having other professionals come in and walk that road and examine the turning radius, who are familiar with moving that type of equipment around. And they did go through that exercise because we were absolutely trying to minimize the amount of widening that needed to happen there. So we did actually bring people in to confirm exactly how much room they thought they needed to get vehicles in and out with the pump station equipment.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have JR from 44 Riverside, Are tractor trailers coming onto Riverside only for construction, or will they make frequent appearances, parking and or coming in out regularly?
So that would only, yeah. Go ahead, Bob.
Construction. After we're done with construction, the biggest vehicle during regular operation would be a honey dipper, a vac truck, trash truck, that kind of side.
Okay, so we have Keith Watson from 228 Fulmer. Are storm drains going to be addressed with the street widening? There won't be any street widening on Fulmer Road. Paula, again, from Riverside, replanting would be much appreciated. Natives, please. Native tree species.
We have a good list now, thanks to Warren.
Paula has a question again. Hold on a second. Go ahead, Paula, you can unmute.
Hello, yes, this is Marcus Askey. I'm Paula's husband. I just had a quick question regarding the widening process of Riverside Avenue. The particular location where the gabion baskets are to be remediated and they exist now, is there a plan for erosion control or some kind of, when you're going to widen this particular area in a street, there's going to have to be some kind of plan to retain the extreme elevation change there in the bank? Has this been reviewed or is there a plan for such?
I can take that one. So there has always been a plan for exactly that. There is erosion control matting and then vegetative stabilization. The slope would actually go back at a 3-to-1 slope. So it would be a little gentler than what it is today. It'd be smoothed out a little bit. And the gabion baskets, if you noticed in the slideshow, not the entire wall is not being removed. About roughly half the wall is being removed. The remaining will stay as it is today.
So for the record, that comment was from Mark. I'll let you pronounce it again, Mark, please.
Yeah, Mark Osowski.
12 Riverside.
Correct. But also, I have another question if you still have me on the line here.
Wonderful. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, great. As far as the abatement of the the residential septic systems that every dwelling has, I see there's a specification that we're to penetrate the floor and then fill with, was it a gravel to be clean or is it modified? And is there any room to consider other materials like a flowable fill or solid concrete? Thank you.
Carol, correct me, but I do not believe there is any requirement for 2A, 2B. It just needs to be filled. You'd know better with the Montgomery County Health Department.
That's exactly where I was headed. Thank you, Bob. The Montgomery County Health Department actually has specifications on how that is done. And to my recollection, it's just an aggregate fill. It doesn't specify. But we can confirm that and make sure everybody's got the correct information going forward.
Mark, are there any further questions?
No, thank you for answering my questions.
You are more than welcome. Thank you. And Mark Hudson, are there any further questions?
I'm not seeing anything at this moment. I do have Mr. Burns who would like to ask a couple questions.
Go ahead.
Hey, Chuck. Bob Burns, Zieglerville Road.
Hello, Bob.
Okay. One question on the pump station. I know it was brought up in the past. Well, the pump station's only going to be available for the residents on that road. So will there be a separate sewer district for that area since that's going to have that pump station? I believe one of the other residents had asked what the monthly quarterly rate is, and that wouldn't include anything for the pump station.
Carol or Bob, would you?
I don't think that has been decided at this point in time. There would be ordinance steps to undertake to implement that. But Mr. Burns, I just don't believe that has been definitively decided at this point. That would be a very small sewer district. But I'll throw it to the solicitor and Mr. Preston if they have any other comment.
Well, I think the one question that has been brought up in the past on other projects that a pump station cost to maintain it is somewhere between $15,000 to $18,000 to $20,000 a year. So if that additional cost is what it's going to cost for this particular pump station, you would think that would be a hefty add to that.
I think that's something that the board can take under advisement and give consideration to in the future.
Okay, second question I have, Chuck, in the presentation that Bob Preston was reading through, he talked about the benefit assessment area as addressed in section 2507, and in the second paragraph there, it mentions how any improvements done by a certain area of the township would have to be for the benefit of that area, and those costs would be derived by that area. And at this time, the township does not plan on doing a benefit assessment. So the question there comes in is to, if that's not how the repayment is going to be made to the amount borrowed from the loan, then there would be a situation there where the original 2.3 that's sitting in the escrow account right now, that doesn't benefit the entire sewer customers. So that would, you know, that deviates from second class township code section 2507.
I think we all read it together. Bob, are you a sewer customer, by the way?
I am not.
Thank you.
I can be if you'd like me to be.
It's up to you.
Well, I get charged the assessed rate since I've lived here for 30 some years. I talked to the county assessor because the sewer and water is available in front of my frontage. I've already been charged that assessment for the last 30 years.
And you are fortunate to have the ability to connect whenever you need to.
Exactly.
Thank you. Mark, are there any other questions? Paula has her hand up.
All right. Yep.
Or it might be Mark.
Paula, there you go.
Yeah, you got two for one around here.
Two for the price of one. Yeah, one question comes to mind before we go. In the contingency of the as the engineer's prints read, as far as the subgrade elevation of the trunk line on Riverside, if there's deviation from that, from the engineered prints, if there's any deviation to elevation of that trunk line due to rock, die-based granite, we all know it's hard. We know it's virtually impossible to excavate. Would then the township be willing to, or how would those costs be incurred as far as if we had the pump and that we deviated from the original engineered spec print?
Well, I guess I'll grab that. If an individual property has to go to a grinder pump, that is that individual property owner's responsibility. The township doesn't buy and install the private grinder pumps. I don't have a reason to anticipate that there would be that significant a deviation. The entire project is designed and permitted. And so if you make one change like that, it's going to reverberate throughout the system. In general, it's going to go in pretty darn close to what's on that plan today. Barring something really unforeseen. So I'll throw it to Bob, and if he's got a different perspective on that, I'll take it.
Actually, no. Usually we install it per plan. Any deviations have to be approved by us, but they took it on themselves. That's why we bid the excavation unclassified. They have to peck the rock. They have to go through it. So we wouldn't allow it to affect the rest of the project.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thanks, hey, Bob. For the
record, that last question came from Mark Ozowski on 12 Riverside Avenue. Sorry, Dan.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Bob to, just for the benefit of those listening, to explain in Dan Orff understandable terms what unclassified. What you meant by unclassified?
Yes, I apologize. Unclassified is a term we use when we're talking about excavation. And basically what that means is we've provided the contractor, the potential contractor, with a set of plans, with the rock borings that Carol had done years ago, and we're giving them an approximation where we hit rock, where the manholes are. So what we're saying is, here's all we have. This is what we want. If there's a rock that comes up in, it's your responsibility to go through it. You know, the contractor takes the responsibility or the onus of the rock.
Great. Thank you so much, Bob.
Yep.
All right, we have a question from JR from 44 Riverside. Any idea if new sewer lines will be coming down Riverside from Crystal Drive?
They don't come all the way from Crystal Drive, but they do come from sort of the high point there, down Riverside in front of those properties. Let's see if I can get a reference point. Might be easier to bring the plan back up, but yeah. Riverside, where it parallels Boulder, that will have a gravity line in it that drops down to the pump station. Does that answer the question?
Yes, thank you. Chuck, I'm not seeing anything else at the current time.
Okay. I think the only thing that we didn't mention is that this presentation will be put on our website, which is lowerfrederick.org, along with the other presentations that you may have seen in years past. Okay, well, this concludes our presentation tonight on the sewer extension project. And I will say we are very happy that you attended. And if you have further questions, please contact the township office and we will try to answer any and all questions that are possible on our behalf. And again, we appreciate everybody coming tonight. And showing interest in participating and asking very good questions. So thank you.
I'm unmuting.
So that brings us to new business. Is there any new business, Mark?
I have no new business at this time.
Great. And public comment. Do we have any further comments from the public?
I am not seeing anything at the time, Chuck.
Okay. So we need a motion for adjournment.
I'll so move.
Marla Hexter makes the motion. Terry Bird seconds. All in favor of adjourning tonight's meeting, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. Good evening. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Take care. Thanks so much.
Thank you.